Lord's Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
As you may know, we are going through the sermon series on prayer. Whose will be done? Now, today is part three of the sermon series that we're looking at, and we're going to be talking about Hannah's prayer today. If you've missed part one and part two, you can go on the PHBC website and listen to the other two sermons. Now, before we get into the word today, I want to tell us just a short story. Some of you may have heard it before. It's a Chinese proverb called, "We'll see." Once upon a time, there was an old farmer who had worked his crops for many years. One day, his horse ran away. Upon hearing the news, his neighbor came to visit. "Such bad fortune," they said sympathetically. "You must be so sad." "We'll see," the farmer replied. The next morning, the horse returned, bringing with it two other wild horses. "How wonderful," the neighbor exclaimed. "Not only did your horse return, but you received two more. What great fortune you have." "We'll see," said the farmer. The following day, his son tried to ride one of the untamed horses. He was thrown off the horse and broke his leg. The neighbor came again to offer their sympathy of his misfortune. "Now your son cannot help you with your farming," they said. "What terrible fortune you have." "We'll see," replied the old farmer. The following week, military officials came to the village to enlist young men into the army. Seeing that the son's leg was broken, they passed him by. The neighbor congratulated him on how well things had turned out. "Such great news! You must be so happy." The man smiled to himself and said once again, "We'll see." Now, the moral of the story, as you can probably guess, is that sometimes there are situations that look like setbacks, but they're actually setups for something far greater, and this was the truth for Hannah. So we've heard Hannah, her prayer read from 1 Samuel chapter 2. But in order for us to really understand what led Hannah to this place of prayer, I'll just give you a very brief overview of chapter 1. In case you don't know her story. There was a man called Elkanah, and he had two wives. One was Hannah, and the other was Peninnah. Hannah had no children, but Peninnah had some. They were a worshipping family, and would go and worship in a place called Shiloh every year. Elkanah would give portions of meat to his family, to his wives, for them to offer as a sacrifice. And he would give Peninnah and her children one portion, but to Hannah, he would give her two because he really, really loved her, and the Lord closed her womb. Now, Peninnah would provoke Hannah because she had no children, and this went on for many, many years. It was so bad sometimes that Hannah wouldn't be able to eat. Now, Hannah was a praying woman, so she would pray, and she made a vow to the Lord that if he gave her a son, she would give him back to the Lord for his entire life. Now, while they were up in Shiloh worshiping, there was a priest that was there when she was praying, and she was praying out loud, but she was praying quietly. Her lips were moving, but she wasn't saying anything, so he just assumed that she was drunk. And she told him that she wasn't, and told the priest, Eli, what she was praying about. And he said to her, "Go in peace. What you've asked for, the Lord will grant it to you." After a while, Hannah became pregnant, and she had a son. And then when the time was right, she went and she offered him to the Lord. So that's the story of Hannah in a nutshell. Now, for some of us, maybe even all of us, it may be easy to feel removed from her situation in understanding how she longed for this child so much. Maybe you're a man or a woman who has no children. Maybe you're a man or a woman with children, but don't have the understanding of how deep that desire that she had was. And that's okay, because the story of Hannah is not just about a woman who desired a child and prayed and eventually was blessed with a child. It's about the process that she went through, wanting something that she was denied, seeking God in the right way, in the right place, and at the right time for him to answer. And I believe that all of us at some point in our lives have been at that place where we are in a dark season of waiting. And for some of us, that season is now. Now, in Hannah's day, barrenness was a shameful thing. Having children was an evidence of God's blessing. And so for her to go through infertility for so many years was something that would have been very, very difficult. In fact, just as it is, I guess, in some ways today in society, there are expectations that society have of us, or that, you know, family or culture have of us. I remember when I was in my 20s, I would hear so much of, "Sumi, when are you getting married?" And then it was, "So when will you start having children?" And then when Tomini came along, it was, "So when are you going to have another one? You don't want to leave too much of a gap between them." And then it was, "Are you only going to have two children? What is this?" It's like, when? And for some other people, it might be, what are you going to do after your degree? Or when are you going to move into that pay bracket? Or when are you going to buy a home of your own? Fundamentally, there's nothing wrong with these questions, but the problem arises when this becomes, achieving or attaining these things become our singular focus. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well." And the scripture is basically telling us the right order to follow. Seek him first, his kingdom, his righteousness, and then all the other things you will need. You won't even have to ask for it or chase after it. It will be given to you. Back to Peninnah. Now, she was the second wife. And she made, hello, can you hear me? Yeah, good. And she made Hannah's life very, very difficult. When I was reading and preparing, I tried to imagine what her sort of taunts were like. She may have said things like, "Oh, Hannah, I'm so tired because my children don't want to sleep in their bed. They want to come and sleep in my bed." I imagined her maybe using the washing machine all the time, day and night. And you know when you're about to go to bed and it's on the final spin and the whole house is shaking? I imagined that to be happening. Or maybe it's just us that wash clothes really late at night. Okay. But I imagined her putting lots of pictures on Facebook, Instagram, you know, saying to Hannah, "Oh, Hannah, it's such a shame that you don't have any children, because my children are outgrowing their clothes so fast, and I would have given them to you, but you don't have any children. Sorry." You know, that's probably tame compared to what she was doing, but just to give you an idea of the kind of things that she had to hear on a daily basis. Hannah was the mean wife, and Peninnah was the mean wife, sorry, and Hannah was the good wife, but Peninnah had children and Hannah didn't. Sometimes we don't understand God's purpose until it's complete, but we can be sure that it will be the best. Psalm 33 verse 11 says, "But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations." So what did Hannah do? Hannah took all of that pain, all of that anguish, all of the taunts, all of the hurt and bitterness, and she laid it at the Lord's feet. When we face difficulty, it's easy to think about how challenging or how impossible the situation is. But what we should do is to take it to the Lord. He wants it. He can handle it. Now, further down in the chapter, we see that the Lord remembers Hannah, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and then she goes back to the priest to offer her son to the Lord for the rest of his life. And that's when she prays the prayer that we heard earlier. So, what was Hannah's prayer? Why was it significant? Let's have a look at it in a bit more detail. So verse 1, we can see it on screen. My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted. My mouth boasts over my enemy, for I delight in your deliverance. Remember the context of the prayer. This is when she's giving back the son that she's prayed for, that she's cried for many years. This is her giving her son to a priest. But it says Hannah rejoiced. I believe she could only do this because she rejoiced in the Lord, not in Samuel, her son. She looked past the gift and she rejoiced in the giver. Because there's no way she's going to rejoice in the fact that she's handing over her child. That's impossible. The horn is used as a symbol of strength and power, and she's praising God because she's saying in him she is lifted. And she recognized the importance of what God has done for her. He gave her a reason to boast. God gave her what I like to call a na-na-na-na-na Panina moment. And she was pleased. Who wouldn't be? More than this, though, Hannah is such a good example that in the moments when things don't go the way that we want it to, we should still rejoice in him. It's difficult, but that's what he calls us to do. Verse 2. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Hannah uses this moment to acknowledge God, to say, God, you are awesome. There's no one like you. We heard it in the first week, the three types of prayer, the wow, thanks, and help. And this is her wow moment. She's saying, God, you're awesome. There's nobody that compares to you. And that needs to form the majority of our prayer life, you know? Before we ask him for anything, just take a moment to reflect on how good and great and awesome God is. Verse 3, it says, do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance, for the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. She was clearly thinking of the suffering she'd been through the hands of Penina, all the taunting, all the teasing she'd received. You know, Eli the priest thought she was drunk when she was praying. But the Lord knew her heart, and he rewarded her faithfulness. Now here, Hannah is saying, don't talk too much. There's a danger that it will lead to pride. The Lord knows everything, and he weighs up the actions of those who are good and those who are proud. You know, there are times we might face a situation where we are right and justified to be upset if somebody's done something to us and you are in the right. But the question we must always ask ourselves is, would it be wise to respond? Would it be wise to react? The second part of Proverbs chapter 11 verse 12 says, the one that has understanding holds their tongue. There is wisdom in silence. In verse 4 to 8, it's very long, I'm not going to read it. Hannah is basically sharing her testimony, giving us a strong word of advice. She's testifying of how God turned her situation around. And she's also saying that we should remain humble. Luke chapter 14, verse 11 says, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. She recognized that God's hand was on the fact that she was barren, and at his appointed time, he opened her womb. She was advertising God's sovereignty in this part of the prayer, and she was declaring that God does what he wills to who he wills when he wills. Verse 9 says, he will guard the feet of the faithful servant, but the wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. So she's proclaiming here that God has all the power and he will use it for his glory and righteousness. We just need to believe that that is his nature and his character. And where it talks about, so this is verse 10, where it talks about he will give strength to his king. So the second part, he will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. She's talking about Jesus Christ. She's talking about God's anointed one, the Messiah. So she even goes as far as to make a prophetic statement. So now that we know who Hannah is, what she'd been through, and we looked at her prayer, as she released her son to the Lord. What can we learn, we as God's people, what can we learn about Hannah's prayer? What can we learn about the place, purpose, and power of Hannah's prayer? Four things I want to show us about what we can learn from Hannah. Hannah trusted the presence of God. She didn't just know about God, she knew God. She had a relationship with God. She already lived a life of worship. We saw it. They go up to worship the Lord, to offer sacrifices every single year. She knew who she was praying to. She knew he had the power to give her her heart's desire. I remember when I used to pray prayers like, Lord, I will only know if you are really God if you do X, Y, and Z. And what made it worse, confession time, what made it worse was that I wasn't even asking for things, you know, like fruit of the spirit, patience and all that stuff, wisdom. I'd be like, Lord, I really like that car. Could you please just bless me with money for that car, you know? Or I'd see a job and I look at the salary and think, wow, that's a good salary. I want to be earning that. Lord, I look at the criteria and I would not meet the criteria in any way, shape or form. But I'd be like, Lord, you're a God of miracles. You can do it for me. And it was just sheer stupidity and immaturity on my part. God has nothing to prove to me, and he's not a vending machine waiting to fulfill my orders. I learned that the hard way. You know, there are times where we do desire things that are good, though, that are in line with his word, that are things that he would desire for us. And sometimes we don't get it. And we might feel offended or feel like, well, God isn't answering my prayers because he doesn't love me. That's the lie of the enemy. God loves us more than we can ever even comprehend. He just wants us to keep our eyes on him. And you know what? Sometimes his will is in the waiting. I'll say that again. His will sometimes is in the waiting. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 says, you need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will rejoice what he has, you will receive, sorry, what he has promised. Number two, Hannah trusted the promises of God. She had faith in God. When Hannah was praying, and Eli, after she told him that she wasn't drunk, told her to go in peace, for the Lord will grant her what she had asked for. The Bible says that her response was, then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. That was her response because she believed that the Lord had heard her cry. She believed the answer was on the way. It was resolved within her, resolved in her heart. Her faith was activated, and there was no longer any doubt that the Lord had heard her cry. Now, we don't have an exact time frame between when this happened and when the Lord opened her womb, but I like to think of that moment as a sort of faith booster, if you like. So when you are seeking the Lord for something, when you're holding on to him for something, ask him for a scripture. Ask him for something to hold on to. Let that be what you tell yourself over and over again. Read it. Say it out loud. Because sometimes, you know, the weight wears you down. The weight wears you down because you're just, Lord, when? Lord, when? But that scripture needs to be what you hold on to. Psalm 138 verse 2 says, for you have magnified your word above your name. And that's why you should ask the Lord for a scripture to hold on to. Because he holds his word so dearly. What God says cannot not be done. That sounds like a bit of a politician there. Let me put it this way. What God says, he will definitely do. He will do it because he's God. Hannah worshipped God after she met with Eli and he told her to go in peace. And I believe it would have been a worship of thanksgiving. Imagine the excitement she felt after knowing that the years and years of tears and pain was about to turn to laughter. Prayers of thanksgiving are so important, and that's why we do it in service. Not only are we giving God what he is due, but it helps us focus on God, focus on his face, who he is, not just on his hands, what he can give us. So Hannah trusted the presence of God. Hannah trusted the promises of God. Hannah trusted the person of God. Now, as we've heard, Hannah had a husband who loved her so dearly. It talks about him giving her the world that he had for her. Hannah knew Elkanah, her husband, could do nothing to change her situation. And so she took it to the one who could.
This is Pollard Hill Baptist Church, a place for the whole family to worship, grow, and serve.
That's why she worshipped. In chapter 2, verse 6 to 8, she made those declarations about God's power and his sovereignty because she experienced it while she was trusting him. Sometimes there are people in our lives that we go to when we have a problem, a pastor, a friend, a family member, whoever it may be. Now, there's nothing wrong with going to people when you have a problem because scripture says victory is won through many advisors, but it is crucial as a Christian, the first port of call is God. You should speak to all these people after you've spoken to God because he's the one with the power to change things. Let them, the people you're speaking to, act as a confirmation of what God is already saying to you. And finally, Hannah trusted the pace of God. You know, Samuel needed to be born at a particular time in history, not any earlier and not any later. God's plan for Samuel was that he was to be brought up by Eli, the priest, as a priest, separated for his purpose. Now, let's make a comparison. So Hannah, on this side, her will is to have a baby. She was married and she wanted a son. God's will on this side, he wanted a priest, a prophet, a counselor, Israel's greatest judge, the one who would anoint David as king, the one who will be in the direct lineage of Christ. One versus greatness. I mean, what a comparison. Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord." There are a few things that I think would not have happened if Hannah had not waited. She wouldn't have given Samuel back to the Lord because there'd be no need. She wouldn't have prayed and worshipped the Lord as much as she did because there'll be no need. She would not have the revelation of who God is because she wouldn't have been in a place of darkness. And she would never have understood the purpose of God. You see, it's important for us when we're in a season of waiting, we look for what God is trying to teach us in this season. There is always a lesson to be learned from difficult seasons. It's not designed to destroy you. It's not designed to break you. It's designed to draw you closer to God. Later in the book of Samuel, we see that the Lord blesses Hannah with 5 more children. Anything she missed out on with Samuel, she wouldn't have gotten that 5 times over. First steps, him calling her mummy, you know, his first word, whatever it may be. She got it 5 times. Isn't that awesome? You know, that's the way God does it. Your cup will run over. He doesn't just bless you. He will bless you into an overflow. More importantly, God will never ever allow our pain and brokenness to have the final say over our lives. Amen? Amen? The answer may look different to what we expect. You know what? Even if God's answer is no, trust me, that's the best response you could ever get. There's perseverance and character built in a season of waiting because you don't grow when you're comfortable. God loves us so much that even in those dark times, his mercy and his grace are available in abundance to see us through that season of darkness. So let's recap. Hannah trusted the presence of God. Hannah trusted the promises of God. Hannah trusted the person of God. And Hannah trusted the pace of God. You see, Hannah knew there was a purpose in her waiting, which is why I believe she then offered Samuel back to the Lord. She understood that she needed to pray for God's will and not just her own. That was a turning point for the Lord to respond, because that was his plan all along. Elizabeth Elliot, she's a Christian author, she said this: "To pray thy will be done, I must be willing, if the answer requires it, that my will be undone." God has called, separated, and sanctified all of us for us to be part of his kingdom agenda. It's important that we, like Hannah, surrender to God, because it's only then that we are aligned with his purpose for his will to be done.
We trust that you have been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you have heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.